out with your hands up and showing.
Fuck off, Norm.
There was movement in the darkness. Ryan edged to one side, trying to avoid turning himself into an easy target.
One chance, then I hand you the ticket to Sticky Paradise.
What?
Come out now or I chew you.
I got a flaster.
Too much time was passing. Ryan wanted to get back to Jack and carry the boy into shelter and check on how Abe was doing, not stand in the freezing street and argue with a wounded Sticky.
Throw out your gun, Stoop, and you come out after it. I won't chew you. I swear it on Charlie's life.
Charlie's here?
No. Now move!
Here I am!
The Sticky stepped out slowly, both hands up, the moonlight showing the murderous suckers on the palms and along to the tips of the fingers. It also showed a dark stain near the shoulder of the torn coat that must have been the result of Jack's uncanny accuracy with a knife.
I'm hurt.
You're chilled.
The bullet hit the Sticky plumb through the center of the right knee. It pulped the delicate joint so that it instantly disintegrated into bone, tendon, muscle, and flesh, and lots of blood. Before the Sticky could even manage to topple over, Ryan shot him again, this time through the left knee. Two more carefully placed rounds pulverized the joints at both elbows, leaving the arms to flap helplessly. The Sticky's mouth opened and closed like a gaffed salmon, his eyes protruding so far that Ryan wondered for a passing moment whether they might burst messily from their sockets.
You murderous freak bastard.
Ryan pumped four more rounds into the writhing creature's belly, seeing the body jerk at the impact of each 9mm bullet. The Sticky was the embodiment of pure agony, rolling from side to side, the smashed limbs flopping behind him. Ryan smiled and slowly reloaded the blaster, turned on his heel, and walked away from the dying Sticky. He stopped and hesitated. The noise Jack's assailant was making might bring Charlie and some of his fellows, and it might just live long enough to tell them that Ryan was effectively alone. Ryan walked back, stared at the dying mutie, and put a final bullet between his eyes. Ryan carefully carried Jack, wrapped in the long coat with the fur collar, along the deserted street and into the lobby of the cinema. He placed the deeply unconscious teenager on the floor, close to the motionless figure of Abe. Ryan put his hand on Abe's forehead, feeling that it was burning hot. Abe's eyes opened for a moment, and when he spoke, he sounded amazingly lucid.
What gives, Ryan? Been ill, haven't I? Looks like JB's dark night out there.
Been some fighting. Jack's been stabbed in the chest. It's his lung. The breathing's bad. How do you feel, Abe?
I've been better. I've been worse. It's cold in here.
Yeah, it sure is.
I can feel my legs. Times I couldn't do that. I think I could manage to stand a while.
Don't try it. Fighting's mostly done. Charlie left three Stickies here to try and sneak on us. It was one of them that took out Jack.
And he's still talky-walking around the Ville.
All crow meat.
That's good. Still think I'd like to stand up. Where's everyone else? Do I know that and I've gone and forgot it, or don't I know it? Oh, fucked if I know which.
They're away safe. Probably be 5 or 6 miles off the top of the ridge by now, heading back down toward the open desert and the site of the old homestead. Unless Jack fired off 3 rounds.
From that big magnum, must have brought folks running.
I don't know how far off the rest of the Stickies were, or JB and the others. If any of them heard shooting, they might try to get back here. Depends on the wind. I thought I heard a lot of shooting a few minutes back, but I was kind of busy at the time.
Want to go out and look around, Ryan? Give me a blaster. I'll watch over the kid.
Don't call him kid. Not unless you want to be walking on stumps.
Abe grinned, looking for a moment more like his old self.
Sure.
Abe started to wriggle out from the cover of the leaning countertop, stopping as he encountered the long splinters of broken glass that covered the floor.
Watch yourself.
Now you tell me. Some of these could take your fucking head off.
Stay there, Abe. I'm gonna look if anyone's moving out there, friend or not.
A flurry of wind picked up a handful of dried leaves and hustled them along the deserted blacktop, past the blank-eyed ruins of the Sky High Mall. Or it might not have been the rustling leaves. It might have been someone running as fast and as silently as he could toward the low buildings of the small ville. It was so soft and so distant that Ryan couldn't tell. Ryan pushed open the inner doors, looking out across the moonlit ville. It was stark and still, with no sight or sound of life. Outside, Ryan's breath gathered in the air in front of his mouth, hanging like ectoplasm seeping from the lips of a medium. If someone came up the northern trail, it was just possible that he might try to circle around the rim of the plateau and creep up behind the multiplex, use another entrance to sneak in and try to cold cock him. Ryan walked to his left, past some faded graffiti boasting that rock and roll would never die. Ryan eased up to the corner, squinting around it. All he could see was the dark, swaying curtain of the forest. It might have been hiding 10,000 stickies for all he knew. Keeping his left hand against the tomb-cold wall of the old movie house, Ryan picked his way carefully along the overgrown path. When he reached the next corner, he stopped, looked around it, and saw the rusting remains of the fire escape that gave dangerous access to the flat roof. But there was nobody. Ryan suddenly straightened, feeling the short hairs at his nape beginning to prickle. Someone was close, somewhere behind him in the darkness. He spun around, finger only a bare ounce of pressure from firing the blaster. The feeling of menace was as strong and imminent as anything he'd ever known.
Charlie.
JB had finally reached the brim of the trail, fighting against a painful muscle cramp in his stomach. He was deeply out of breath, bending over, hands on his knees as he fought for control. Behind him, he was aware of Christy closing with him. Ahead, he thought he had caught a glimpse of a tiny elfin figure darting from silver light to velvet shadow, but he couldn't be certain. What he was gut-wrenchingly certain of was that he was going to be too late to help out in whatever was going down. Ryan's combat instinct was so powerful that he didn't hesitate for a second. He raced back toward the front of the Beacon Multiplex, out onto the main drag of Bearclaw Ridge, to be met at close range by a fountaining arc of bullets from Charlie Zuzzi. The Sticky was standing right in the entrance to the movie house, less than 50 feet away. If Ryan had been any closer, the burst would have simply torn him apart. If he'd been any farther off, then Charlie would easily have been able to blow him away at his leisure. But there was just time for his razor-honed reflexes to save Ryan. He saw the dark figure before the Uzi exploded, threw himself down into the side, a stream of high-velocity lead slicing inches above his head, ricocheting off the wall, and a shower of vivid orange and silver sparks. Ryan snapped off two shots as he rolled in the dirt, but the Sticky had vanished inside the building, and the blacktop was deserted. Inside the multiplex, Jack Lauren was quite possibly already dead, and Abe, lying partly undercover, still desperately frail from his wound. If Ryan tried to get in through the front entrance, the Uzi would wipe him away. He turned and sprinted toward the rear of the building and the decrepit fire escape. The corroded ladder squeaked under Ryan's weight, but it held safe as he scrambled up onto the roof, where he picked his way between the various heating and ventilation stacks to find the open trap door into the projection box. He dropped through, ignoring the clatter of his boots. A quick glance through the projection window showed the empty auditorium. Ryan paused for a moment to gather himself, then moved quickly down the iron stairs toward the lobby. Christy stood by JB, staring toward the buildings.
See anything?
I think someone went inside the old movie place just after firing the Uzi. I think I heard two rounds that must have been Ryan's Sig Sauer. Nothing since then.
She glanced up at the sky. There was a heavy bank of low cloud moving steadily across from the east, encroaching on the moon.
Gonna be real dark in a few minutes.
Could be all over by then.
They both turned as they heard Dean panting up the trail, with Christina amazingly right on his heels. There was still no sign of Mildred, Harold, or Doc. In the pitch-dark well at the base of the narrow staircase, Ryan paused again. He pressed his ear against the concealed door that opened into the lobby, but it was insulated, and he couldn't hear a thing. He dropped to his knees and pushed it open, a knife blade crack. There was a splinter of a second to glimpse the lobby, before another burst from the Uzi tore through the door chest high, showering Ryan with splinters of wood. Charlie was crouched near the main doors, which stood wide open behind him. Jack's body lay completely still, where Ryan had last seen him. Abe was invisible under the tumbled display top.